We got to replenish the edge with the coffee. Everybody get the coffee. So we take a couple of minutes and read the minutes. Has everyone read them?
No.
For those who might not know the others again, shall we at least say our names? I'm Carol Wayman.
I'm Mike Amador.
Bill Calder.
Bill Gore.
George Stevens.
James Oxley.
Glenn Copeland.
Bud Renner.
Glenn Allison.
Julian Warren.
That's the final word. over there.
Richard Burke.
Gary Mead,
George Bear,
Abbott Lima,
Don
Shaw,
Warren Kanagi,
Aaron Carson,
Tom McDonough,
Don Cole,
Matt Blake,
Joe McGuire.
With some of the other, some of you that are on the side like Don, or would you want to take seats up at the table here, fill in, one or two of you? This one up here. The minutes. The minutes probably had one or two corrections to be made. On page three, the last paragraph probably wasn't intended to come out this way. On the last sentence says, now change is being made, and it is incumbent upon public agencies to take the leadership role in preventing an employment pattern representative of the citizens within the city. I'm not sure that we meant to have it that way. Unless that's been the essence of what we've been saying. This is brought to my attention. May we simply note it officially so that our... on page three, the last sentence in the last paragraph. May we bring that to the attention of the...
Implementing,
I think, would do it.
Well, you can just say the word not. This is the pattern and representative.
The thing. Yes, that would even be better, I suspect. So now it would read that role in preventing an employment pattern not representative of the citizens within the city. Not would do it. We may bring that to attention of our excellent monitor and secretary. Joel Dagny. Are there any other corrections or any other... Say that again. Any other corrections or observations made on the minute? This morning we had the topic, not this, next meeting we're coming back to this. So are there any comments today on any observations made as reported in the minutes here? Any that wasn't here or any that was here? If not, before we look at the topic for today, which is the Economic Opportunity Commission and the observations made about the commission's hiring and its status in the community in the past month or so, are there any other events worth a mention or anyone wants to make any observations at all?
I would like for us to get some information on the 200th anniversary celebration of San Diego. We have a project that I think it should be discussed.
Yeah, what's your own committee with that?
Mm-hmm. I'll mention that. 200th anniversary? Sounds like that's pertinent to me. Any objections to that being included? Any others? Any other comments? Observations? Leon?
I could say something, raise a question, except that I'm really not versed on it. It may be
even out of order for me to do it. I'm not so certain.
Let's try it.
I just heard a little bit, and then I was out of town, so I didn't do the following. Something about the arrest of this young fellow who was the director of the team post, and then his later exoneration. And I'm just wondering what, if anybody knows the situation of this thing, and what the perception of it might have been in the Negro, particularly the Negro community.
Any objections to opening this up for a few minutes, anybody? Before we get down to the other topic? I suppose Joe here is well-versed on all the events leading up to it. Bill is here, Inspector Gore is here, so we probably can get some excellent or comprehensive perception. Would you give us...
Well, I think the question was asked as to the perception of about a minority community. Is that correct, Lance?
Well, sort of, and maybe what the facts were, too, because I personally didn't know that, although that is anybody's fault here.
Well, I don't know all the circumstances of the arrest. I know that an armed robbery occurred in the southeast San Diego area. The police were called, and in going to the robbery and conducting an investigation, this car was stopped containing the director of the team post and another man named Thomas, I think his name was. At this time, the policeman asked him if he could look into the trunk, and they said yes. They opened the trunk, and there were two pistols in the trunk. They asked Henderson about the director about the guns, and he says that he wasn't going to say anything. He has nothing to say. I don't know what the conversation was between Thomas and him. He was arrested for suspicion of this armed robbery. The investigation was conducted and found that he was not the man who had committed it, and both of them were released because of his because of the effect that he had in the community regarding the influence on young men and so forth. An effort was made to see that a retraction was printed. Now, where this newspaper got the team post thing, we don't know how it came out that he was the director of the team post, but they played it from this angle. And there was a lot of criticism regarding the way it was presented in the news media. Since then, though, that the newspapers have printed retractions, and I think the Tribune is getting ready to print one also soon. And the television, the commentators mentioned it, brought it out in the news. I have had very little feedback in a negative fashion from the minority community regarding this.
Oh, my concern is was I was wondering how far was the arrest made from the scene of the call of the robbery. This was my concern. Why would they stop a man on the street going to a robbery and accuse him of participating? This is what I'm saying. I felt that the officer was detained on his way to investigate a robbery and stop someone. I mean,
he stopped him because the car was similar to that one which was used in the robbery.
Different day, though, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
What the newspaper?
It didn't have the same
day.
Yeah.
I think Joe can fill us in on some of the details.
What we had there, we had a call. We had a call in southeast San Diego of a shooting occurrence. And the officers were investigating this, and these gentlemen were in the vicinity and were stopped. And as I understand it, they were asked if they possessed any firearms or if they had any with them. And the reply was, yes, we do. They're in the trunk. And as a result of looking in the trunk, they found some tackle boxes that were similar to those used in the armed robbery couple days before, so this gave cause to hold them for suspicion. One of the main questions we asked and are asking is for what reason, or were any other people in that area stopped? For what reason were they stopped? First, they state that they were there to make sure that none of the 18 youth were involved, which is laudable reason for being there. Yeah, you see, with the press color, it is though that these officers were on a call to a robbery. And on the way to the robbery, they stopped this particular car. This is what the paper leads. I don't know anything about it. I mean, what happened?
In response to a letter from his question was what reaction from the black community was at stake was that the individuals felt that they themselves were pointed out because of their position with the young people, which has been many times construed by some of the police officers that they are not working in a fashion that would help the police in their particular situation in minority communities. Because of the way the procedure was the lineup was taken, Henderson stated that he was the only one in the lineup. His companion who was arrested was never placed in the lineup. His question, why, if we're both suspects? There are discrepancies that they feel that young people themselves who are high school dropouts, who are not as intelligent or astute as one may think an individual should be, but yet it's so clear many times when these events take place to them themselves that why me in this particular situation? Why was, as Joe said here, I, my car, the only one stopped? What is wrong, if any, with firearms being in the back of a car? It could be suspicion, yes, but it is a legal way, a place, I believe, to carry a firearm is in the trunk of a car. I believe I'm correct on that.
No.
Well, the newspaper article said that there was no violation involved in the firearm.
It is not legal to carry a weapon in the trunk of a car?
Mm-hmm.
Would you clarify?
They've been accepting it, but technically it's not legal.
On what? Is there a law preventing when you
steal a weapon? Is that correct?
Yes. But now, what about these weapons were rusty and not opera owned? And the newspaper account said that this was not a violation.
I'll read it as it says here. Guns were old. That's the subtagline here. Police yesterday said the guns were old and rusty and that possession of them was not a violation of the state's concealed weapons law.
My question is at this time, on the last meeting of the state legislature on firearms, and this came as a result of the Black Nationalist Group, the Black Panther Party, going into the state's capital with firearms. I believe the law came out. Now, please, I'd like to know clarification on this, if I'm not correct, in that a person cannot carry a loaded weapon, but he can carry a weapon. Now,
the difference between a shotgun or a rifle and a concealable.
Well, then, can a shotgun be carried in the trunk of a car? Is that considered concealable?
No.
That's okay.
Legal.
But a pistol cannot be carried.
It's not if it's an operable gun.
Okay, I see.
This was not an awkward comprehension.
What if you carry a question on an operable gun is that you've got to test it first.
Yeah.
And they can't test it in the area that you've made the apprehension. So there's a lot of technicalities that everybody here is missing that the officers are aware of. And, I think if you want to discuss it further, why you should go into that aspect.
Now, this paper simply says that it was not a question of a violation of the law.
But that was determined until they found the guns were not operable.
Yeah.
Well, this is the point, you see, he's trying to make, and Leon's question is, what reaction, you see, because we don't know, we read what the white news media says to us. We try to interpret what they're telling us, and no one takes the knowledge in the community, nor white nor black, to call a police station and say, is this story true? Did this happen this way? So we can only interpret, and it has been for years, this is nothing different, what the news media said. Now, for clarification and retraction of statements, if the police departments feel that the news media says something which is out of context or content, I think they should make a clarification on that. Because I would interpret what I read here, whether it was true or not.
There is. This is being written up. I believe it's all. I don't know if it's been printed yet or not, but I know the Union and Tribune are printing this.
And the television. I think, though, the important thing here is it wouldn't have been done automatically. There would have been no retractions automatically. When we got word of what had happened and talked to Henderson, it was our decision then that before officially sending letters to the police department or the news media, that we should in some way initiate contact with the news media. So it was our office that contacted and conversed with the news director of COGO of 8 and made contact with Henderson and sent them to Henderson for the statement, which part of it appeared in the paper here. It was also our office that contacted the union reporters and sent them out to get the retraction, and sometime today or tomorrow the Tribune is going to follow through. So the retractions had to be initiated. They would not have been done otherwise. It was not automatic, I'm saying. Ben, you had something? Yes.
Well, isn't that the function of, one of the functions of the CIC? You're just doing your job. That's
precisely.
What you're
right. No, when he said back here it should have been a retraction, I was saying that it was not automatic.
Just a couple of other questions I don't know the answer to, Carol, that I got out of the story. One raised to me the question, and I think this is part of Mr. Henderson's statement, about his being detained overnight in jail, and I wonder about that particular thing.
I might answer the whole thing for you.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to discuss the EOC. If I thought we were going to discuss this, I would have been prepared to talk on it, and I know Bill would have too. We could have brought the cases with us and given you all the details. Frankly, what the press prints, we cannot control this. I don't think we should or want to. Here's a man that is in the public eye, as policemen are. The news media says this is newsworthy. If a plumber is driving while drunk and gets arrested, who cares whether he's a plumber? They don't ever say anything. But if a policeman does, policeman's caught drunk driving. And it would be the same way with anybody else in the public eye. These are unfortunate things, particularly when the person is found not to be involved. And I'm glad to see this retraction is coming out, because it did discolor this whole teenage thing and teen post thing. If you want to postpone this for the next meeting, I'll be glad to bring the material in, and maybe we can answer all your questions. Neither Bill or I worked this case. We're not familiar with all the details.
Should have been. Hopefully they'll put the retraction in the classified set.
No, they we suggested they put it in the same page. They did.
Bigger headline. But I'm still not, the question I have is not particularly pertaining to this case as such, but what I have heard numerous times from the young people in that area about being picked up and about being detained overnight and then being told on your way. And it's this kind of, and never even, as far as I know, many of them never even officially booked. They're just detained. And kept up, and it is this thing which I am concerned about, and to lead to a further question. In the way that this has been handled so far, is Mr. Henderson now, can he sue the city for false arrest? I mean, I gather that he's been arrested and charged.
Yes, anybody could sue the city, or sue anyone, whether or not he would be, his claim would be valid or not. If there was probable cause to make this arrest, here again, I don't know that there was or wasn't, because I'm not that familiar with the fact, but if there was probable cause, then he would not have any valid suit.
I can point out they're not just detained, they are booked. In the detainment overnight, he was arrested for this.
He was,
then,
yeah.
In the release, it would state, if he was found not to be involved, detention only, not an arrest.
Yeah. That's the record.
That's to help him so he won't have the record on his record.
Would it be reasonable to consider, at least in my mind it's spinning around, and I don't know if it's spinning anybody else, what would be considered probable cause in one case? I mean, would, say, a case like this would be probable cause maybe, but if it were a different person, maybe a different color person, would this be the same set of circumstances that have been probable cause?
Well, not
I think this is a thing which you're going to stick in the claw if anything does.
Well, naturally, it's a different color person, because the man who committed the robbery was
the circumstances were the same.
It would be the same thing. Make no difference.
Okay. That's popular, but I don't think it's fair to discuss this case without putting it on this whole area, without putting it on the agenda.
and having the people here who can discuss it most intelligently, like we've been doing everything else. I don't think it should be brought up this way and then opened up for discussion. I think we ought to talk about the EOC since that's what's on the agenda.
I think also now we have the perception and not the fact. And if we were going to get into that, I would agree that it should be properly scheduled. Let's move on to the topic of the day. It is the, see if I can clarify and get some comment on what we're going to talk about so that we don't get into the area that we're not, that's not part of our schedule.
Mr. Chairman, we got all the questions that can answer the questions that shed light from EOC and its opposition president today. I don't see Mr. Katz here.
No, the president, Mr. Reed.
No, the purpose here was to look at the way, the manner in which the comments have come out in the papers regarding the perception of EOC as opposed to the facts. That is, that when we discussed here, or he had session there before one of his sessions, that the minorities viewed the whole thing, the question of the green card holders, in a different way from the way it was perceived by others. It was not on the basis of facts, but rather what did this do in terms of the community tension or conflict, or highlighting more of the problems we had, as opposed to the facts. Could anyone else highlight the elements involved in the EOC?
Mr. Chairman, just this is another point of order before we get into the subject, which is irrelevant to the subject. I'm wondering, within our dialogue and the time that we have been meeting, have we actually reached that point yet in reality that we can go into the specifics? And I know we have gone into them with the bus situation, but the original intent was to be like National Mind Changing or National Heart Changing Week. My question at this point is whether or not we have reached that National Mind Changing or Heart Changing as it relates to our city representatives who have been dialoguing with us. Now, if this is construed by this body that this area or this level has been reached, then I have not seen that change nor the articulation to the community that something has changed my heart and my me being here. I'm wondering if we're able to go into specifics, because if we're not, I mean, if we haven't reached this level yet, then I might as well take just the Urban League and go down and talk to the bus company. I might as well go down to the board of supervisors, like John Johnson has already gone on record and stated in reaction to the comments made by the county board of supervisors about EOC. The Urban League has already gone on record. So as we might as well go on in this particular fashion, you see, as we have been in business as usual in trying to resolve things by CIC, the NAACP, the Urban League, if we have not reached this one level, you see. In other words, have we reached a point where we can get the attitude and the participation of individuals that are here to affect the changes in which we hope to discuss somewhere down the line? In other words, are the hearts open yet? Are the minds ready to go in this direction, you see, to change? And then when it is, we will not have to sit here and depict each particular specific situation in which there is a problem. Once we reach this level of thinking, they will themselves see the problem, and we will have to continue dialoguing on each specific problem as we are here, the bus company, the EOC, and each little thing. This is what the mind changes and the heart, I would think we were here for. I don't know.
I think, George, this is a sensible question by my own perception. The only thing is that you got to use some examples to show what it is that we're talking about. Otherwise, people tend to say, well, you know, what's wrong? What do you want? You see. So then this, we're saying now this is what we want. This is, I think, we've been talking about before when we were telling you all these generalities. So then at some point, we do have to get to specifics, to illustrate.
then you feel that we are ready, just as a general body, to get to specifics. I don't mean just to minorities, I mean to everyone.
I thought so when I raised this question a while ago, nobody threw an ashtray at me from the police department over here, you know.
Now, this is fine, so if we are,
you
can
tell your name.
Yeah, I think, George, I think your point is well taken again. I think Leon's point is, too, that, you know, if you're really talking about the problem, under that you have to get examples to keep highlighting, just as examples. The problem is not housing. The problem is not employment. The problem is not community relations in the department. But it is, these are examples of the problem which exists in all aspects of perceptions with minorities. Today is just another example of two meetings ago when we met, the last meeting when we met, for the first 20 minutes or so before the others came in, when we started exactly on the minute, the EOC, what became the topic for a few minutes, and we decided to put it on the agenda and open it up this time because the transit people couldn't come back this time. They can come next time. And we're going to continue the transit next time. And it was to discuss then, as an example of what you're saying, the way the EOC whole thing was handled, which rubbed many in the minority community the wrong way, as opposed to facts involved, how it was handled. Glenn opened it up by suggesting that this was but one way of reporting news, but it indicated other ways of other aspects of criticizing an agency, a group, perceptions, and so forth. And I would hope that he would see if he could recapture.
Let me just go back a point, because as I recall the discussion of that time, John Johnson was the one who brought up the question of the EOC, and his concern was, as I think it was a concern of many, the way in which the criticism of the Economic Opportunity Commission and its director were being conducted. That was not whether or not there was room for criticism. There may well have been, but the way in which it was being done, he felt, was one which really left the community confused and uncertain, and even having to choose on very, very sparse and some misleading information. And it was my feeling at that particular time, and I may have been wrong, but that we were not to simply discuss this among ourselves, but included in the people who would be active participants, would be someone or someone from the County Board of Supervisors, since they were the ones who initiated the entire, not only the criticism, but the way in which the criticism was being carried out. So there were two parts of the matter. One was the specific criticism of the Economic Opportunity Commission and ways in which this criticism has its effect on the community. The other was the more general question of criticism in general, particularly when it involves sensitive areas, and if this kind of criticism didn't make it very, very difficult, almost preclude the kinds of solutions that we were driving toward. In other words, that this way of doing it set dialogue kind of discourse back a long, long way, because it generated hard feelings, it generated a lot of things you had to go on explaining. If you had rather said, I'm not sure about this, one of the places to go is to sit down with a dialogue group and talk about it, then the kind of criticism that came out, the kind of attitude in the community may have been an entirely different one. So there are two things involved. And my own feeling is, I don't know how we can go on with a meaningful dialogue about the Economic Opportunity Commission and that particular instance without someone from the County Board of Supervisors at least making what their perception of this is.
Joe, did any of the reactions come in from the Board of Supervisors being here today?
No,
we had contacted them and asked them to be here. They're not here, which raises an interesting question, very crucial one for that matter, that Glenn has just highlighted about going on discussing it
put out members of the Board of Supervisors, more than one personally, being here to at least participate in the dialogue. Then you're still frowning.
Well, I'm still frowning, Carol, because I'm not sure exactly where things should be pinpointed. But my feeling is that we have struggled and from time to time have hit low periods like this when the attendance is poor, when the focus is a little fuzzy, and where the passion and intensity gets lost because there's no payoff. And I'm concerned because this is one of the kinds of things, at least I pick up in the community, which lead people to say, what's the point in talking? I mean, who needs one more day of dialogue? And I would agree that if this is what dialogue ends up in being, that is a legitimate criticism. You know, that the other way around is that if you're going to really make dialogue, make it good, make it sharp, make it clear, make it precise, make the exchange between people who really have the kind of difference in perception. And it's not whether or not we can agree. Many of the significant parts of the community I would like to involve, including the supervisor section of the community, are simply not here. And that's another matter.
Carol, this is why I asked that question before. I still don't feel convinced that the individuals who have participated, not only those who are not here, have really come to a conclusion that in my mind, I believe, in my heart, I think this is right, and in my activities, I'm going to change. Now, this is an example we speak of things with the city of San Diego. Then there's no doubt in my mind that this should be first priority by Tom Hum and Mike Schaefer, who represents the two Southeast Councilmatic districts. Now, if this is a personal attack, yes, it is. But when we're running for a public office, it seems that we can make it because we want to be seen. And this is no doubt, and this is a traditional thing. It's business as usual in this particular matter at certain times of the year, every four to be exact, with the council races. Okay, so what I'm saying is now is that if the persons who can affect the change, and first of all, I want to know about this body here, what do they feel are the two top priorities in this country today? I like to know this. Maybe I differ. Mine is the Vietnam War and racial segregation. I'd like to know if there's a difference in opinion.
No question.
Then if there is no question, if there's anyone here who do not feel that there's anything more top priority than the war, the issue of the war, and the racial situation in this country, then there's no other meeting that should take precedence over these two issues when they're being discussed. Now, if they're to take precedence, I don't care where it is. This bar is not. You see, if this is top priority, then instead of the mayor going to Mexico, he'll send a representative to Mexico and put himself here. Now, this is my feeling on this. If this is top priority, Tom Hahn will be here instead of someplace else. If this is top priority, Mike Schaefer will send a representative someplace else, and he'll be here. Now, if this is not top priority, then I don't want a dialogue anymore.
I think this is interesting and important, regardless of the topic, because it is the same thing we keep struggling with. And I think George's question and Glenn's comments, Leon's, are extremely pertinent. We have, every maybe three or four sessions, had to stop and back up and ask those questions, really, in a one-first one. Is this dialogue significant or isn't it with regard to the problems going on? I'd like to just comment a couple of seconds on some of the reactions that have been coming in through staff with regard to the time element between now and June. I think it was last week we sat with a group concerned with what would happen next summer. Would Project Summertime be reactivated? That this is practically the first of the year already, and we'll soon be talking about other programs, the longer, harder summer type of concept, and that the dialogue here was not getting some of the people that should be here on a regular basis, while some, of course, have been here. I think this is really part of all that we're saying, is it or isn't it important? Maybe we should stop and go back to that same question again and decide whether or not the dialogues are worthwhile continuing or whether they should be stopped.
Or whether or not, Carol, also whether or not the racial and the Vietnam War are the two top priorities in this country. I'd like to know the feelings of the people here. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just think that and they don't. I'd like to know.
All right, you have a question before you.
Mr. Chairman, I've been saying this for the past
5 months. The only way that you can hold interest in a dialogue, you're going to have to deal in specifics. We voted that out. We didn't specifically just view the problems and get different perceptions, and then we go on to another problem. But when you have that existing, it becomes a joke. And people get tired of jokes. I felt that the city officials and the other representatives of the various areas of concern in our city were interested in the point that they thought some conclusion would be reached by us. But when we started squabbling about who had membership and who could vote, and this was a thing that you could decide anything on, and the people were here that can make the decision, we told them, well, we're not going to tell them, they won't keep talking. So they started dwelling away one by one. Now, I have a warped concept of dialogue, but I feel that there is a conclusion of dialogue somewhere. Dealing with the specific problems, dealing with answers and solutions to problems that you've been dialoguing about for so long. We've been here since last March or May or June or February sometime. And we haven't reached any concrete conclusion yet. The closest thing that we've come to conclusion on is this traffic situation where we talked about the current of the drivers and so forth. We do have Negro drivers and things on the buses now. And I presume Mexican Americans on. I haven't seen that. It's a little hard to detect the Mexican American in this Negro. But I feel this is the only thing that we've actually brought an awareness about. And then some conclusions have been reached. But these other things that we've talked about, and we ourselves have ruled them out. We voted that we wouldn't deal in anything here other than dialogue. When we get through giving the different views, then we move on to another thing that's disturbing. Well, when you do that, you lose interest because people get tired. We all know what the problems are. And I made that statement when I first came. We know what the problems are. Time for us to discuss them and tell them out and then reach a conclusion. On this group, we want to work in this area to try to bring about a change. But you can't look at a person and tell when it's changing.
Leon?
Yeah, I hate to be an optimist because I don't know whether it's being appropriate. It seems to me, I just came from the Zurbin Coalition yesterday, and many people are reaching out on an unhappy conclusion. You know, either we solve our problems by talking positive action or something seriously going to happen. We talked about pretty freely up there yesterday. The content of this group of about 200 people is only about 10 or 15 Negroes and about 10 or 15 Mexicans and all the rest were Anglo. This was kind of passed around. Thank you very much. So maybe what I'm saying is in a way that I sort of hate to see us talk about not talking. It seems to me that it's worth taking a little extra effort to maybe get the sheriff police chief or the mayor to talk to members of board supervisors and say, you know, we're talking about things that are important to the whole community and you ought to be here. One thing that somebody mentioned yesterday by the vice mayor of Berkeley was talking to somebody in the Piedmont area, the mayor of Piedmont, and some of the people over there were saying, we're not too concerned with how many minority people over here. We're not too concerned about these kind of problems you're talking about. Well, somebody said, well, you know, there's some guy down there on one of the streets in Berkeley who's, you know, his eyes are firing, he's crazy, and he's talking about throwing Molotov cocktails over here in Piedmont, you know, and then all of a sudden they became pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me that even though the county board of supervisors maybe are not responsible directly for areas in which reside a large number of minority people, by lack of perception of what things are, that they are responsible, that they're part of the community, and to the extent that perhaps they participate in the kind of thing that we are starting to talk about here, maybe cause problems by what they say, that they ought to participate in some resolution, an attempt to resolve, and that the other people who are more intimately involved, who are here, may next time, if they hear what we have to say, go maybe Mr. Keller said, you know, we want to have you over here so we can talk about this. This is a serious problem. And so I would argue that we ought not to cease to talk, even though the people who ought to listen aren't here. Because some of the people who are here may use a lever on those people who ought to be here and get to here.
He just emphasized my point, Mr. Chairman. I say this, and I speak in circumstance. Now, when you get up, I get up before my congregation and say, I know what's wrong with the world, it's full of sin. And then I sit down. But I haven't solved any problem. We all know it's full of sin. We all agree here, the man himself led the agreement that the problem is racism or racial prejudice, whatever the identity. Now, what are we going to do to stop it? Keep talking about it? We know what it is. So in the areas of concern that we have picked out, and I think we've touched on some good areas, but we just bruised and went on, and we're on another area now, EOC, we're on this, and we're on the, we want to hopefully get on this 200th anniversary celebration, but what are we going to do? After we add the problem, what are we going to do? Who are we going to contact to make the amendment that is needed to be made? I don't know what we're going to do.
Any other reflections, comments?
Carol, part of I just don't know where the focus and the locus of the problem is. But one of my thoughts would be that perhaps you need to get the attention of these people and to somehow reinforce how important this is. That is, that if you just send a notice to the County Board of Supervisors, you don't even know whether or not they've actually seen it. It may end up on somebody else's desk. If you are really concerned that they're the people who should be here, I would myself be inclined to force them to a point to either say, I don't want to be part of it, or I'll be there, or I'll have somebody there. But I mean, to sharpen it down so that it's just not laissez-faire, it's not just sort of drifting, but that this is important. And you pursue it. And if I can't conceive of a discussion here, if you really thought this is an important place, a discussion of the EOC and someone from the County Board of Supervisors not being here, I cannot conceive of it. You know, and if I really felt that you had been in hot, whoever, you know, been in hot pursuit, and they had said, no, we won't, we really would have something to talk about, you know. But it's this nebulous thing that I don't know whether or not it was really brought to their attention that they should have come here prepared to defend their position, whatever that position was. They started it, they're presumably interested in this, deeply concerned, they're sending telegrams to Washington about it, about wanting local control. And yet, presumably, some of the people they want to be in relationship to are sitting here waiting, and they're not here. And I wouldn't be hesitant for one moment of telling them that, and their assistant as well. And if they didn't show up then, I wouldn't hesitate to say, look, here's what we've done, and here's what we've done, and that's what it is, and what are we going to do about that? And by God, if the mayor and somebody else can't get them to come here then the line is clearly drawn as to where the locus of the problem is. So what I'm saying is that I have a sneaking suspicion. A lot of this is just kind of drifting along, and no one is really keeping insisting. Time is running out. You know, you may not know it, but the end of school is getting very close, and there's some real problems here. The fact that the police, if this were really the kind of red-hot furnace that it should be in relationship to the nature of this problem, the police department would have known. And as soon as they saw that in the paper, they would have cringed and told them they would have grabbed at his file and said, my God, I better prepare myself as I get there. Man, I can't conceive of somebody, some way, getting that thing on the agenda, open up their mouth about that case. It's so hot. It's so involved with the problem we're talking about. And he wouldn't have said, you know, all I'm saying is that the real importance of this area apparently has still not been driven home. And it may need lots of reinforcement, but I think that it needs to be reinforced, or to do indeed what you say. I mean, and it's not only just for the people who are here. There are other people in the community who I think are really important to this, who came once or came twice, and then that was it. And they're the people who should be here. When this team post thing came up, I know, because I've been on Community Action Council. When we got the police department there on things dealing with the teen post, my God, there were 55 of those kids, and they came in really prepared to talk. And they really gave the police department a good, straight notion of their experience. And, you know, and in my own judgment, the police department came there and weren't really prepared for that kind of thing. You know, in the sense that They should have known that if you're going to touch that hot area, those people are really concerned, and those people will really show up, and they did. And you know.
One thing, getting back to George's point, but again, I think it's a valid one. One of the major indications I think that we might give to the community is our concern about the people who are supposed to be here. I don't think we necessarily need to rely upon BIC or Urban Ways or any one agency. I think we each have to participate in making all these people aware that we want them here. If we are so really concerned, for instance, what would happen if every person on this board were to write a letter to the Board of Supervisors and say, now we want to bring people from their own agency along with them? Would this not be an indication of concern? But we as a total body are concerned that you are here. That is important to each of us.
You know, Carol, it's really kind of humorous because I feel like an individual who has really been used up to this point. When I listen to the mayor and he says that I started the dialogue as a part of his campaign to the people of San Diego, I have to, in all honesty, say that that's a lie because we had a problem with the mayor here in the beginning. But you see, I'm still a part of that dialogue, which is shown on Channel 10, that there was George Stevens from the Urban League. It must be a good thing for black people because he's here. And then it's a further good thing, and the mayor must be okay because he started it, you see. So I get this used feeling. I get the same feeling now because there's no need for my services. It's that things have cooled down. But you see, in May, this office is going to be jam-packed. Well, I'm not going to be here, see, because the fire is going to be started out in Imperial. That's where I'm going to be. I won't have time to come here and tell you about the problem in May. I want to come here while it's cool and tell you now, so that in May you may be prepared to take whatever action that's necessary. Oh, there's no doubt in my mind that this room will be packed filled, you see, because all across the country it'll be hot. They'll be pushing mayors, they'll be pushing city managers from the president's office, and they'll be hot on it. You see, so this room will be packed. Well, you see, this is always a situation that we're called in after the fire. So here's the opportunity to get this situation controlled before it happens, before the next dance at the community concourse. You see, before the next ball game at Balboa Stadium that might be an outburst, you see. Before the summer comes when they'll be burning up Imperial Avenue again. Okay, but the point is, if we can't do this now, and I don't mean just when I say Mike Schaefer or Tom Hum, but they key because I want them to bring this up on their council agenda as representatives of the community. But all the councilmen should be here because anything that affects Southeast San Diego affects this whole city. Anything, it's not just Dent and DeGraff who should be here, who brought this issue up, but the whole entire county board of supervisors. You see, because of the Board of Education, George Smith, he cannot pass a resolution at that Board of Education by himself, I don't care how black he is. It takes the other four who are concerned about the problem and who are familiar with it to support him in his action. It takes the other members of the city council to support Tom Hum and Mike Schaefer, or you'll never get a charter change through. And the same thing with the county board of supervisors. Now, as I said again, if it's not in our mind here that the racial and the Vietnam War are the two top issues, then there is no need of us trying to convince someone else or the white people that are here from the representative downtown. If you're not convinced yourself, you certainly can't convince Bob Dent to come here. If you're not convinced that this is not a top priority issue, because you won't have a way to make an impact on him of the sincerity of this meeting.
I think we have before us two or three important things. I think we should simply agree that as far as the topic today, let's forget it for the time being. I think these other things are far more important. I think also, following Reverend Oxley highlighting again, I think it's very important that in the process of meeting or whatever you want to call it, that if it's important, that if the time says change, the agenda items, the format, change direction, we should do that. For example, if now we need to look at, for example, George's point first, what are, from the white sphere, their perception of the two most important issues. We should have an answer to that shortly. We should also look at what this other thing is. It is, what methods shall we now use and change entirely if necessary to bring to the Tolo community, and specifically to the ones who should be here, the urgency of being here now as opposed to May, as George said. I think what we're saying is that we have to stop now maybe and reevaluate and decide on some specific on specific methods and on what the priorities are for public officials as perceived here, as George mentioned. Leon?
I think George is fundamentally optimistic too, because I watched the program 2 nights ago on the National Educational Network over 15, and they discussed what's happening all over the country in terms of the efforts, police efforts made to put down riots. You should see the tag that's being prepared. I forgot now who's building it to control these things, you know. So maybe the effort won't be to sit down and talk. Maybe the effort would be to buy more tanks.
Los Angeles and Detroit have
been. Right, yes. The effort may be to buy tanks and more guns.
Right.
So, you see, I wouldn't say, this is what I was saying a little bit earlier, I wouldn't want to say now, look, if you don't want to talk to me now, then I'm going to quit talking, because I would hate to see us reach the point where the only thing to do in May is to bring in a couple of tanks. Then it's really the chip is down and the water's over the dam, and it's too late. I think we ought to be persistent about convincing. We have to grab somebody, and we have to send a subpoena down there, maybe. Or something or other, you know. We can, I don't know how we can make up. I don't know, it's kind of different. But if we really ought to insist hard on getting people to recognize what the problem is. So I think that what George is saying is that people who aren't here don't really recognize how serious it is.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have decided that we're going to keep this on a message.
Right.
That's it.
Important to know.
Chairman, I think we've got the minority to be quiet.
Mm-hmm. I think we have three situations that we should look at and get some specifics on. George has asked a specific question. Now, whether it's yes, no, yes, no, no, yes, no, maybe, and all, doesn't really matter. George wants an answer to those questions, and I think he should have one. I think we should look at that. Then I think we should take up this other point. What are we going to do about specifics? And then what are we going to do about getting the people here? Does it mean, for example, sending some committees, as we discussed earlier, between now and then, to talk to them, lay it out like it is, specifically minorities and so forth, and give the urgency in conferences over dinner table or two between now and 2 weeks from now, the message to the individuals? Do we need several committees to do that? Do we need a committee to go with us, for example, when this next week, I don't think it's week after next, anyway, we can set up another date to talk to the Union and Tribune and the TV stations about what we think are the urgencies in terms of reporting all news to the community? I think we need to get to some of those things. So let's start with George. Would you pose your question again, George, and minorities, hold tight.
The question was, Mr. Chairman, I'm opposed
all right.
to dividing a dialogue into racial groups and telling certain ones to talk and others not to talk. I'm unawfully opposed to that. I don't think we should ever participate in a dialogue where we say, now let's let the white people talk a while. Now if I'm understanding that, then please be informed. I don't
think there's a meeting. Well, let's get clarification. George, pose your question the way you want the group to answer. If you want minorities and all, is this a specific question?
No, it's not necessarily, Carol, there's no planning things around the bush. I can't do a damn thing in San Diego about changing as a black man. It takes the manager, the mayor, the city officials, the city council. I mean, it looks stupid for me to sit here and say I'm all for racial as being a number one issue. That's obvious. That's automatically split. So that's why I'm asking the power people. There is no black leadership in this city. So I've got to direct my question to them, whether or not they feel this is a number one issue in the city. I don't think there's any question in Leon's mind, Reverend Hockley, yours, and Joe is here that this is the issue. So when I said to whites, it's because the whites represent the city structure here in San Diego. So my question to them is whether or not they consider this as a number one issue, and we'll say specifically to San Diego here at this particular time. I can't think of any other issue other than employment.
Tom, it is not dividing issues per se. He has a specific question he won't answer.
the chair will exercise
her. Mr. Calvin, do you think there's any possibility you get anything other than a positive yes answer to that question? What kind of game is this? Now, is there anybody in the whole world that's going to say anything other than yes as an answer to that question? Are we who's kidding whom now? Is the main issue of facing our society the race problem? Well, by God, you get 200 million people and they all say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, who's going to say no?
Are there any no's in here?
No. Not in the world.
No.
George, I think
it was. Well, if this is clear and it's fine, it's just a matter of formality. If that's clear, then I want to see some effective change as a result of your yes answer. That's all I made this original statement.
All right, let's get back to that.
We can move on.
Let's move on then and get to some of these.
But part of the real answer is that if the answer is yes, then you're here. And the point is that no matter what answer you give, your effective answer is what you do.
That's
and the audience is, if anybody has any question about mine, I've not missed one. But all from the first. And I'll continue to, because I don't think there's any, it's unequivocal as far as I'm concerned, it's the number one problem. But, you know, just you asking me, or you know, the way to find out is that you don't need to ask me. You would want to ask somebody else, but you wouldn't want to ask Allison because he's been here every single time, and he'll be here every single time as long as that's the thing on the agenda. Because I think it is number one. And you know it because I keep coming. The reason you got a question about Hom or somebody else, he's in and out. Schaefer, he's here and he's gone, you know, and that kind of thing. Your question is because from an operational point of view, obviously there are 10,000 other things which are more important to them. So what you're saying is
that's
an operational
thing, not just those that are here. So the stuff will be read into the minutes and go to those who are not here today. What is their number one concern or what do they feel? So it's just not for those who are here or those who have been active or those who are white. It's for those who possibly are not here today who are hearing the same message. And if it relates to them, a meaning that this is the number, hopefully it will relate to them, that this will be a number one issue in their particular case, then I hope that they, through this, they'll see a need to come.
I can only answer for myself, and if I'm not going to say something because I think you want to hear it. I can see real value in these dialogues from my standpoint. We have not bought tanks. We have not bought more guns. We're trying to affect this change through education, through training. I control most of the training on the police department. Last week, I personally teach all ranking officers. I had a class on race relations because I think this is such an important area. We keep going over and pounding it because this is, like you say, a long-standing thing. It's going to take a long time to overcome it. And I think the way to do it is through training. This is the way we've approached it. Personally, I've learned a lot. In fact, things that I never even dreamed of, I didn't even think about, frankly. And as you pointed out to me before, this is because I accepted this normal thing as most of the white people do, apparently. I've learned, I have taken action. I don't know about the rest of them. There's no doubt this is of top importance, top priority to law enforcement. And you see law enforcement here every time. Mr. Keller, police department, and the sheriff's office representative. Very important to us. I'm concerned, but we're doing something about it. We're taking action. Personally, I'm taking action. Now, I can't say it all, policemen are.
Yeah, in connection with what the inspector said, I think some of the people who assume certain leaderships in the Southeast community in particular are trying to do something about it. See, this is, as I always say, this is a two-way street. You can't keep making demands and never make any preparation to alter some of your demands. This is something that I hope somebody will take to the right place, Mary. We're in the midst of a project that will, that we feel will do something to coincide with what the inspector's doing, a training program for our people. Our problem in Southeast San Diego is the lack of facilities. And we have started now to erect a neighborhood youth center addition to our church, and we're working on this HUD fund and HUD grant for it, and the only way it can be granted is that the city would have to sense the need and work with us in making the proper request. I was hoping that, June is here, and so there are things being done to help educate our people. You see, our people need education as well as the other group of people, because there are certain resentments and that have come about through, through tradition or some false assumptions and so forth. I feel that we can do something about it if we, about this hot summer that they predict that will come. I think that the educational process is the only process that we can work effectively to stop tanks and Molotov cocktails and things of that nature. But we're going to have to get together and build certain facilities in strategic areas in our community where we can serve the needs of those people. Those kids running the streets all day, half of the night, with nothing to do, it creates a lot of problems, unnecessary problems. It creates a lot of unnecessary police harassment, not brutality, but harassment leads to brutality. But if those people had some place to go, something to look forward to each day of their idle time, they wouldn't have these problems. And I still say that here in this dialogue, we can add these problems and we can reach a conclusion. And these councilmen, as George said, the councilmen should be here. And to take back to the city council some of the things that are said here in the form of resolution. Whether the resolution is passed or not, you can't say that the two councilmen from the predominantly Negro or black community, the Mexican American community, which is Mr. Hall and Mr. Schaefer, respectively, they are trying to bring about a solution to some of the problems. And I trust that we can get to this thing and get it solved before these kids get out of school, because you turn loose a lot of children out in the street with nothing to do, and a lot of the commotion and things starts from reading the newspapers and looking at television in other cities where uprisings are starting, and it creates a little group here, a little group there, and eventually you'll have an outburst. And tanks, and nothing else will do any good, because you can't put a tank on every street. And I'm glad that our police department is trying to do something educationally. And when you start talking about these things, something will be done. But I go back to my previous statement that we rule out action right here at this table, in this room. So we're not going to go into the action. We had a committee formed to draw up a resolution on some matters. And we said, no, who can do it? We had a vote on it. We said, well, who's entitled to vote? We went into a lot of other ramifications that actually could do anything. Let's bring us back to this point this morning.
Bill and George.
Well, there's 2 points I'd like to make. First, I think that it's evident, we feel that we're always talking about this long hot summer. It's here right now. It's hot right today.
That's right.
And there's problems that are existing. And second, I think it's evident, we should point out that everyone here, as I look around this room, is working for an agency or a group that is working on this problem. Every single one of us is involved in trying to effect change and to improve the situation as it exists.
First of all, just a short comment to Bill here. This is true, Bill, and this has been taking place continually now, say, for at least 3 years here in San Diego. However, the attitude that is taken with some of this effective change is still with an attitude of business as usual, and this is what attitude has to be changed by those who are in those positions to affect that change, that we're not going to no longer do business as usual, not whether we step on someone's toes or not. We're going to step on their toes and go do business as usual. And if beautiful picture of this, is black politicians now being elected to black to offices like the mayor of Cleveland and the mayor of Gary. The question is whether or not those seats will affect change for black people, or whether or not those seats will just affect change for two people, mainly Stokes and Hatcher. You see, that's what we have at present time, and that's why you have the resentment in the black community, because in the past seats have been filled and business is still going as usual. So that I'm with you on these people who are working in this problem, but it's business as usual, which is set up by a system of whites. My statement I wanted to make in conjunction with Reverend Austin here is that there are problems, which I state this because problems are usually caused, and most of the riots have been basically caused by some confrontation between black youth police officers in all your major cities that stem this off in some way. And I say that for this reason, that I believe the concept that the law enforcement has of two groups, which is mainly a black nationalist group, secondly the black Muslim group, that this is the most suspicious group in the black community, this is the group to watch, and this is the group to pick up first when something happens. I want to change that thinking if I possibly can. I want to relate to you that the two groups that you don't have to watch very much are black Muslim and black nationalists, because they're learning self-values in themselves, and they are not to the extent where they will be foolish enough to do something that will cause them to get arrested. That is the first thing. Here in San Diego, some of the most cleanest people in the community today are black Muslims. I can remember when they were winos. I know some now. In fact, the leader of the black Muslim mosque at the present time, at one time, only believed in one thing, and that was a seven on a set of dice and drinking, but not so today. In the black nationalist group here, young boys who frequent that teen post are members of group US. That group of people and that group of young people who were once thugs on the streets, who were once breaking the windows, are no longer that type of attitude, because they have more pride in themselves, which they did not have before. Now, when an incident takes place that would cause some type of undue harassment of them or undue arrest, like going back to December to the Henderson situation, what this does is say to other black people, other young kids who would want pride and see how good they're trying to grow themselves up, they will say, what the hell good does it do to become one of them? Look at them, they catch more hell than you do if you don't belong to it, you see. Now you say, well, how do we know these young people? I'll tell you how you know them. You'll never see him drunk, and you won't see him with his hair processed. That's how you know it. That's how you know a black Muslim, and that's how you know a black nationalist. So you can identify it. So what I'm really saying is here is that there's a change taking place in the black community with the self-value. It's a value system that's built in within themselves to have more pride than to go down some street throwing a ball or striking a match. And this is reality. And I think this is the way that this, and I've tried these two groups. They may disagree with religiously the philosophies of mine and many others. But I tried this group because there's one thing for sure. They are a hell of a lot further up than they were when they were down in that ghetto and in that gutter. So this is really an assistance to you. And I said this to the police chief, that this has been one of the great assistants today. And I tried Joe Vincent, who is the leader of that group in San Diego. I think this one young man, if you ever need to work with someone, you contact them. You see, because their intent has always been this summer to work. But when that situation happened with Walter Kimbrough first, who was arrested and later on acquitted after a jury trial, which as a lawyer had to be paid for, and then this arrest of Henderson the other night, this does not help that particular situation. I can assure you as an individual that those persons will be the best ones to help you in any event of any crisis.
Just in one time, I wouldn't think that the police department was arresting them because they were members of a black national group.
No, that's not what I know.
A lot of people get arrested, you know.
It's that you should know. As a community relations officer, you should know who's in the community doing what. You should know that Henderson, your officer should know that Henderson is the leader of the team folks, and he's not capable of doing what may have happened. And through your observation of him, it's like I said about the young car that was stopped one day after the supposed riot in San Diego High School. And the kid in the back of his car, he had big letters up there, Operation Big Plunge. Every person in Southeast San Diego knew that there was a building of the swimming pool.
Right.
How could he be with the black nationalist group from Los Angeles? You see, officers should know. This is what I mean by observations. This is what I mean by you knowing who's who and what's what.
That's what I meant a little while ago when I said if the situation would have been probably caused, they had been. Something was relayed to me yesterday in San Francisco that there's an Urban League executive director in Los Angeles. I usurped this time, but I wanted to follow George because it's so beautiful. Urban League Executive Director
Brazier.
Somehow or other, a burglar alarm got set off in the building in which he has his office. And I don't know where that is, never seen it. But the police came in. They broke into the building and they broke into his office. He was reading something. They arrested him, handcuffed him, and took him off to jail in spite of his protestation. The executive director of the Urban League in Los Angeles, this happened to him, was made to me yesterday. He's Negro, but so you say, ask yourself now,
don't
you know, doesn't that raise a question in anybody's mind, in a reasonable person's mind? Wouldn't you listen to the man if he says, hold it, I'm the executive director, this is my office, this is my desk, you know, wouldn't you listen?
At least let him show you a card.
Yeah, wouldn't you? Wouldn't any reason for you to listen? If you don't listen, then you have to say to yourself now, was that probable cause? And if you say, yes, that was, then you have to ask questions of the sincere person who says, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the incident you referred to was covered quite widely. I noticed, though, that it was not covered here too widely. It was quite a thing in L.A. and New York Times. No, not New York Times, Washington paper. Any other comments? Yes.
How does the Washington Post?
That's my news. It was carried on in three big papers, the Washington Post, the Times, and one San Francisco paper. Maybe that's what Leon picked it up.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
We say that the other thing, the two things, one was the Economic Opportunity Commission, and the second thing was the 200th anniversary. We can't do anything with this Economic Opportunity Commission. You rule that out. Now, can we get some background from anyone concerning the 200th anniversary? To my understanding, that there are no Negroes on the committee, and no Mexican Americans on the 200th anniversary committee, and I'm wondering who selected and so forth.
Can then we come back to your other point? Take this one up first, and then come back to the other general area you opened up about specifics. Restructuring is necessary, looking at our direction here. So, with your permission, then, Chair will take up that last one. Let me give a report on the 200th anniversary and bring up to date, and then open it up for others who might have also been in contact with them. A month and a half ago, I took the recommendation that we had written to the board last year when we first got word of the 200th anniversary with me to a meeting that was called by the chairman of the 200th anniversary. There had been five minorities invited to this big meeting, 210 people I think it was, attending. And none of the other minorities appeared. Five had been invited. So I went. And at the appropriate time, I addressed the whole group and pointed out, read the recommendations that we'd set up. In the meantime, we had discussed at several points the 200th anniversary with the NAACP, with GI Forum or MOPA, I'm not sure which one it was. We discussed it at our employment task force meeting, so the recommendations included all of these things we talked about. So I presented to them the concerns of the minority community, anticipating that some of the questions would be, well, there should be a Negro committee or Black committee, or there should be a Mexican-American committee. I went on to state that the concerns I was expressing were not limited to a committee headed by a Negro, a Mexican-American, what have you, but that the whole structure should be sprinkled salt and pepper and a whole lot of others thrown in, that it should be from head to toe a minority, from the board of directors all the way down. I was the only minority there, and later on some questions were directed to me. I answered them, and then I told them I thought, again, we were getting too specific because they were not getting my message. The message was that from the beginning there should be minorities all the way from the top. At that time, the chairman, before he resigned, then reacted and said publicly that at that meeting
the five groups that were concerned with the 200th anniversary, appointing the directors and so forth, the board members, had overlooked appointing minorities, and that he personally had gone back to them and pointed this out to them, that all the five groups had failed to appoint any minorities. However, he stated that after going back to them, that they had appointed three Negroes. And one great gentleman up front on the second row asked him who they were, and he said he could not mention them at that time. He also indicated that at that time he had not been informed that any minorities had been, other than the Negroes, had been appointed. I raised the question then was, were they able to discuss the presentation I had made, namely, that I was not talking about the blacks only, I was talking about Mexican-Americans, particular Mexican-Americans, Indians, whose whole heritage is this country, the Indians, Mexican-Americans, the Asiatics, the Filipinos, you name it, Portuguese, the whole bit, and that this is what I had been talking to for the past 15 minutes. He said that there were some problems, and then when I read the article in the paper about the resignation, I received a letter which I have drafted a reply to, sent a copy to NAACP, and I'll have copies for everybody else. At this point, after that meeting, when I called the chairman of the lady, she informed me that she did not have the names of the Negroes that were allegedly appointed. There were no minorities other than the Negro even considered. Then when I talked to the sub-chairman of the Indian committee, they indicated that they did not have contact with the Indians, so we gave them some names of the Indians since we worked with all the reservations, nine of the reservations, of the 13 in this county. We gave them some names of some Indians, gave them a whole list of Mexican-Americans. I suggested specifically that they contact those that I put a star behind, Mexican-American groups, Negro groups, Asiatic groups, and Indian groups, specifically those. At that meeting, there were some Portuguese, so I took the liberty to go over, and I knew one, and asked one of them to come over and talk to the same lady I was speaking with. They asked me then if I would head a subcommittee, and I said, yes, tentatively, I would head a subcommittee until I personally had received confirmation and assurance that it would not be a committee of blacks, a committee of Mexican-Americans, a committee of Indians, and they would do their thing on certain days during the 200th anniversary. That they would hear from me soon, that the committee must, that the whole structure of the 200th anniversary must be black, white, blue, green, and yellow from bottom to top, and I would serve under those conditions. I met with Tom Johnson of NAACP as he was planning his big program involving the 200th anniversary and gave him a layout of what I've just said, my tentative acceptance, and that's where it stands at this point. Now, there may be others who have also, maybe they've called on some of the groups. Mike?
Well, one time I went up there myself and I was talking to Mr. Clobber. And so he took me upstairs, 10th floor, to talk to Mr. Osuna. Now, Mr. Osuna is the ambassador for this 200th anniversary. So he went to tell Mr. Osuna, well, here's my Amador, 5th generation, so there's a California family, my whole bit. And they got counties named after his ancestors and the whole thing. They want to start talking to Mr. Osuna, that's supposed to be the ambassador. By the way, do you speak Spanish? He says, if you're going to be the ambassador, you're going to Mexico, you've been out of Spain. No, Mike, I don't speak Spanish. He says, well, great.
You didn't speak English.
So he says, well, Mike, why don't you get a list of people, you know, in the community? Because even that area up there wants to get included in this here. Sure, they have brochures and back them, they have, you know, the pictures of all the people. Said, well, why did you include some of these other people? I was going on my own because Mr. Clobber was telling me about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know if you had done what you had done. So when I talked to Mr. Osuna,
there's our Spanish and Mexican heritage.
Well, there are some other aspects too. I had the opportunity in Foreman Task Force meeting in April, had gathered all of the... Glenn, did you bring me that? Who was it? We had talked about that package deal. Somebody had brought me the entire package. Oh, I know, Tom Harris. Brought me the entire package of the 200th anniversary that I presented to the Employment Task Force when we took it up. We had made then specific recommendations in terms of the literature should also reflect every color of every person in the community. Further, we had also said that there should be in Southeast San Diego as many cultural activities advertised as there should be in, say, Old Town. Further, we had said that if this meant then revamping those areas in Southeast, it meant revamping them and including them in an itinerary map, just as it would mean Point Loma or what have you. These are the things I pointed out and reported to my president who's sitting here. These are things I pointed out when I went to the meeting on the 200th anniversary. I simply went over all of these things. To date, I have not heard from them except that this letter I was talking about. I received a notice that the meeting was to be held, but I haven't heard from my committee chairman. So I've drafted, as I said, the rough copy of the reply, and that's where it stands. But I think it's in order to follow whatever ideas you might have, and let's pick it up.
Yeah, I was just wondering because I serve now as the minister of the oldest Negro church in San Diego, and the city was not aware of it until last year. We asked for a proclamation for that day. That's why I'm saying that these are things that we should have people like Benjamin Junker, the historian, and you need people with some knowledge of how to get music, not because he's a black man or Mexican-American or Filipino. You get somebody with some knowledge of how to get the historical documents and types of things that are important in this thing. This is my concern. I'm not speaking for me because
it's a very good point, Charles.
It
seems like that, and if you don't speak up, nobody really knows, like you said. So
yeah.
I guess we got to blow our own horn because, gee whiz, I didn't know that took place in Logan Heights. Well, okay, so what we're really saying is someone from a geographical location to know about, at least know about that geographical location. Now, there probably could be Caucasians down there who could probably give you more about Negro history, maybe, than some of the Negroes that lived there themselves because they were there when the first family came in. So I don't think Reverend said, it's not limited to a black historian. But the point is, there's finding a historian who has the information about who was the first one to move. I would be interested to know who was the first black family to move into San Diego. And I'm sure that someone probably lived on 19th and Imperial could probably tell me way back here. But these are things that should be involved. And as far as landmarks, I can't help but believe sometimes that there must be some historical landmarks around that corner around there because that was that ship movement in that area there, but I haven't seen any markers of significance. I don't know if they didn't put them up or what, but the closest one is around Harbor Drive by the police station. I think that's about the last one going into Logan Heights area there.
There's one around Memorial, George.
Is there one around Memorial?
Yeah, I pointed out to them at the meeting. For those who might want to follow it, if you go out National, at 28th Street, you know where the freeways come, one exit and one entrance? You know where it is. As you go east, if you turn 28th Street there, just as you turn off, there's this little...
It's around Marcy.
Right, around Marcy there. This little landmark thing. Yeah, but it should be included in the historical sites.
At least
to
get it
there on
the
night.
What does it say?
Entering Grant Hill, Southeast San Diego. No, not Southeast San Diego. Grant Hill and something else that has the city thing on it. And it has the historical thing there. It's on the bottom of it.
Yeah, jump Grant, lookout, some kind of thing up there.
Right.
But this is the significant thing of the dialogue, in which I would like to come out of the dialogue, so that I won't have to be sitting somewhere waiting until the committee gets ready to convene so I can swoom in uninvited, but that they themselves would see the necessity of their first formation to say, these people should be invited, because now I'm constantly thinking of other races other than just a white race. And I hopefully that this will come out of the dialogue, because there is no way possible for anyone who's not in city government to know the things that are going on downtown. You don't print it until it happens. The committee met and decided to do, then you know about it. Well, that's too late. So I want to think, and hopefully the thinking of the folks that are here, Julian Wise's office and the city manager's office, the police department here, the organization of the representative here, to bring this to the attention of those persons who are concerned in the beginning of the organization itself. And we wouldn't have to dialogue on the bus if any of my parties been included from the original board structure itself. If someone had realized that, like Tommy Junkin said, that the little old ladies and black people riding the buses too, then if someone had been thinking about the little old ladies and the black people and when they form the schedule and make up the board, we wouldn't get into that subject here.
May I suggest some specifics? May I suggest that we appoint 6 people, 7, 8, or 9, if others are added, to specifically meet with the 200th anniversary committee, or the acting chairman at this point, or until he moves out completely, and sit down and draw up the total picture of what you want without doing it yourselves, whichever way you work it out. Present the concerns that we've talked about here, the concerns about having landmarks sent around the world that also represent Southeast, the map included, any other aspects of it. Is that appropriate here to take that kind of action, or what would you suggest?
Then how can we do that? We're not invited to the how we get this information. By you being involved in it, then you could give the information of the meetings and so forth. They published the meetings after they have the meetings. The papers said that.
Well, I'm somewhat in your position. I'm waiting now. I'm duplicating my recommendation for everybody, you know, as soon as I can get them out. I can let you know when some of the meetings are. Some of the meetings I don't know, and that's why I had to call the lady. I didn't know when some of the meetings were either. What I think I'm saying is that it's still nebulous, period, that minorities have not been sought out, as mentioned here, and I think it has to be a complete involvement of all the people from the beginning. But this would be calling upon them to point out further how the community feels about it, with all the heat that you might take or the coolness you may take. But is that an appropriate action? Maybe it isn't. Or any other suggestions on how it may be done? I'm going to call them anyway, because I've been asked to serve as subcommittee chair.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you go ahead and call them, because we put in some minute here that we didn't have any power to appoint any committees or make any votes. So I understand this is what we said. Then with me as well. But that's what we said. That we
would. Well, it can be changed if it seemed to be appropriate. You know, that's why I'm saying we ought to look at it.
Well, this is the past body.
Well, Chairman, let me ask a question. Will there be any financial appropriations in the 200th anniversary to, let's see, to develop any areas that would be, you know, like when they're going to have the World's Fair here? I mean, these cats money coming all over the place to make the city beautiful. Now, I wondered here if there will be any funds available, or maybe perhaps someone from the city can respond to that, to make certain areas appropriate for viewing of persons who will be coming to San Diego for the 200th anniversary. I know you know what my next question is, and if they say yes, so
what is this name they call under the community development office of the city? What do they call that name? Big bankers. They get so many initials of things, make words out of it, that I get lost in them. Well, they're beautifying areas, right, putting in lights and things. What do you call that project?
Chirp?
Chirp, yeah. I don't know what chirp means.
We can check what it means.
Chirp. Okay, well, there will be, I think, an appropriation.
But chirp is.
I don't know whether June can answer that directly or.
Hold.
since you're connected with them, the 200th anniversary in total is somewhat adrift right now, as you may have detected in the papers. Prior to us being set adrift, it was somewhat akin to disjointed Don Quixote galloping simultaneously in about 700 directions under the enthusiastic leadership of Mr. Hamm. The city put $70,000 in it this year against a budget projection of about $1 million. The rest of the money was to come from the community. Until there's a new president elected by the committee's board, I don't think you're going to see much action at all. They're marking time right now until they get a new president.
The board is established. The board is established.
Yeah, well, there are some openings on the board, as I understand it, but I don't know how many. Each of five agencies appointed X number of board members. Five each?
Yeah.
I don't recall.
Initially.
Five each initially. From five agencies.
Right, five board.
But who was the head? I mean, who had the...
Who were the five agencies? The head of each of the five agencies, the county, the city, the port district, the chamber of commerce, and the convention of business. And the president and or chairman of the board or mayor appointed five. And that was a couple of years ago, I guess, that they appointed those. They have an executive director, John Goff, who's providing some continuity in the thing. But as a staff man, he's pretty much adrift too right now. Now, they thought that today they would announce the name of a new president.
But didn't they meet the other night, Drew?
Well, there have been two meetings tonight. There have been two meetings this week to nominate a president who was going to be elected then by the board today.
Who's been nominated, do you think?
Well, he declined. He first accepted, and then he went back to his boss and said, look, they want me to be president of the 200th anniversary committee. In order to do this, I'm going to have to take a leave of absence with pay for 18 months. And his boss said, what have you been smoking? So he had to call and say, sorry about that. So that's where they are right now. And we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen or how soon. Now, they're going to have a pretty strong, dynamic guy who is going to be enthusiastic and intelligent at the same time.
Rare combination.
Most of all,
intelligent.
George, I talked to John Goff yesterday, and he doesn't know either right now. In the meantime, all the things that had gotten started all over the board, from a gift from Spain to some oceanographic thing to Osuna to who knows what, you know, all these things have been going on, and nobody really knows. So,
well, Mr. Wise, you said that the overall budget is was $1 million for.
That's their projection through mid-'69, if I recall it, around the middle of.
Now, that money is for what purpose?
Well, a variety of promotional activities. You can also fund additional funding for organizations within the community to add on to their existing programs during 1969 to tie into the whole thing. They visualize a kind of an umbrella organization to bring in all the existing organizations and be able to say to them, during 1969 we want you to do all your regular things, but we want you to add on something significant as part of the 1969 activity, and we'll help you pay for that add-on.
Good. Well, I have
Specifically here, the reason, as you know, probably now, why I asked the question was because of the attention actually being given to an area. I'm speaking of Logan Heights in particular area. I think as far as anniversary and celebrations, I think it's as much to celebrate to see what we're trying to do here as it relates to all of the parts of the community. And I'm thinking about one of the most significant changes that has taken place in the last 2 years is the number of poverty programs which are operating in the minority community. And I think that this should be a part of that, that is saying that this is the effort of change. And certainly that should have been noted and part of the 2nd anniversary. The CI, the Citizens Interracial Committee, has been added. The operational to do what? That should be within this brochure someplace, denoting what has taken place and what have you. These are significant things which I don't think will ever make it until someone gets on the committee in the first place to denote these type of things. Until secondly, money is added on add-on projects, the same as they're adding on projects for others to promote this same internal situation, so that well, no one is downtown will be ashamed when they drive down Imperial Avenue and the stop signal doesn't work.
I wonder if it'd be appropriate then to tie up two or three of these things. I think we ought to tie them up now and get down to some specific things. First, George, maybe your question then about the money appropriation has to wait until we, some of us, go to them and say, okay, the other thing it seems to me, to make it concrete, would be that you authorize the chairman, aside from my involvement there, waiting for their confirmation, all this, here, to select some individuals after I meet with them in terms of my sub-chairman, simply to get with you. Literally, Monday or Tuesday, and set up a meeting immediately after this. Choose several to go with me at a regular meeting to them, whichever way they say the new board of directors, or we might have to wait until the chairman or what have you. But it may be appropriate here to get the names of some individuals now to go with me as soon as that new chairman is appointed, literally, as he takes over, to begin to indicate the concerns which have been expressed here. Now, if that's appropriate, I'll get some names here, set up a meeting, and go ahead and we'll meet and go with them, go to them. That's in addition to my getting a confirmation from them about their plan to include. Now, is there any other? Yes.
Joe, have you met with John Gump?
No.
I think you should do that anytime, even before the next president. As the executive director of CIC.
We've talked several times. We have several things. Does that tie up to
the guy who's going to stay?
Yeah.
And who was there before.
Right.
The only two executive officials we have, Mr. Chairman, is the chairman and vice chairman.
We're not concerned about all the details, just so the involvement takes place.
All right, we'll take it from there then on that point. Any other things related to anything, Joe?
Oh, we still haven't gotten back to that arranged original thing, and I'm kind of still steaming about that because I think we're going to have to use some brain power to get the involvement of the people we want here at this every other Friday, and that's the thing that we need to address ourselves to. I think if we get the right people involved here, I think a lot of others will get the message.
Earlier, Reverend Oxley and Glenn made suggestions, Reverend Oxley, about being more specific in defining the policy with which we deal. I wonder if in inviting the people to participate, if we could spell out a little more clearly what the subject of discussion is, make it a very specific issue, draw the lines very clearly, so that everybody will know what we're going to talk about. What we at this time, we are asking questions specifically about the way you did whatever it is. Now, once that's done, I want to make another suggestion. I want to open something else up. I don't think it should be that anybody is in a position to veto a subject by not attending.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you all the people who got to do it not coming, then we can't talk about it because you're not here.
Mm-hmm.
And if what they've done is open to question, then they might not come. So once we have given them specific invitations and we have spelled out what the area of discussion is, if they don't avail themselves of the opportunity to come and present their position, then I think we're obligated to go ahead and discuss it, whether it is or not.
Send in the results of our discussion.
And then, yes, and publicize.
Well, this is another thing, is the publicity part of it. You see, when we first started here, with the dialogues, this table was full, and there were a guy with a red coat and one with a blue coat, each end of the table, and they dwindled away to nothing.
But if we follow your advice,
right.
I believe they'll be here.
They'll be here, but that's another way. If a guy isn't here, you can see about it on TV, because somebody's going to say, you know, we invited him, we asked him to come, we're going to talk about this, and he didn't show. He'll be here next time.
We got the mayor here.
You bet your life it is.
See, and that's the reason why the press stopped coming, I believe, because we said we weren't going to do anything, but they were talking. They can't put that in the over the airways and in press. That's after the decision. They did put when the man stated in here about this business of racism, that was in the editorial.
Right.
That's the only thing that we had concluded on.
Could they develop a mailing list on some of this to get this information to these people that have come? Sometimes they just will continue not.
No, they get sufficient notice that way. It's this other thing we have to eventually come to grips with. How does the community, particularly the minority community, begin to articulate so well and so clearly the urgency of the kind of press, for example, that's necessary? Even we had discussions about the way the others were covered did not give the sense of urgency that's required to keep a community aware of what's going on. It's all in one package.
Well, Mr. I don't think it's so much the minority. I think it's all of us. We're all here. I think we're all aware of the problem. And if we didn't do anything about it, I don't think it necessarily comes from the minority resolution, that it comes from the dialogue that we established here. All of us are getting to have anything, and I think we need to point that the only problem is that more people have problems besides minorities. These other people, they have problems also.
Leon?
I was just wondering if some of the members here, like I mentioned earlier, like Mr. Keller, and the mayor, might ask Thomas Heath to come and to point out that he has been coming and that he's found it useful and believes that other people who represent power and who have prestige in the community ought to come as a matter of their own devotion to the welfare of the community. And this kind of thing might be very helpful.
The meeting with I'll be meeting with Don Keller and his role that he can play with the Board of Supervisors. I think that's a point well taken, how he can maybe begin to utilize his coming and his understanding to get them out, since he is one of that group. I think the other groups that I will be able to try to create a sense of greater urgency will be, of course, with the city people. I put those two down to approach a little differently, utilizing those here. We still have the press. We have a meeting, as I mentioned, set up with them to talk about the whole area of our community. Are there any other specific... Yes.
Chairman, we've got a meeting coming up in 2 weeks, don't we?
Yes.
All right. Since we have people here right now, that we have right here, that are concerned, and the reason they're here is because they are, why can't we get these people right now to say, look, let's do it this way to get the people that belong here the next 2 weeks here?
Give me a suggestion. I have some people down to meet
with you. All right. Right now, let's suppose we say the city is going to participate in making sure or extending the invitation that they know will get to the proper people. Mr. Keller is going to participate. Urban League is going to participate. CIC is going to participate. Allison is going to participate. Everybody around this table is going to do something to make sure that these people are aware of this meeting, that they should be here, and they must be here. And it's just, we're just not throwing it back onto one agency to do it or any one individual. But we all are that concerned that we're going to indicate that these people are concerned that they be here.
Can I make another suggestion? And that is that it seems to me kind of like default or something. We've let a lot of this fall on the CIC and act as if that is the agency that's supposed to be doing it. My recollection was that when Carroll was made the chairman of this group, he also had a committee. And I've been, I think, every meeting that I've known about of that committee, he asked me to be on it. I think we had two meetings. The first was fairly well attended. The second one was like half as many. The third time, I think, there was Carol and me to come. And my thought is that this group here has got to take some more responsibility for its own group, steering committee, whatever you want to call it, rather than simply assuming that it's CIC and CIC is going to do it. Because CIC has got other fish to fry in addition to this one. And, my thought is that if we want to make this a group which has its own identity, the thing to do is to have your steering committee or five or six or seven, whatever it is, and we shouldn't be saying, we should be turning to that committee and saying, how come? What have you done? And, we've got to take some responsibility of our own, I think. And we've got a steering committee. I don't know who's on it, but I think it should be fairly specific, and they should be told to meet between now and a week from now and make sure that when the 15th comes, we know what the agenda is. We know we've informed those people specifically, directly, in person as to what the expectation is. And to get a commitment, either they'll be there or somebody else is going to carry just the same weight as if they're there, not to send an office boy, but their assistant who can make the decisions for them, binding. That would be my information.
Bob, you were mentioning, and I want to pick up what Glenn just said.
Well, first I'd like to emphasize that I think that we all ought to realize that apathy and disinterest is all part of the problem. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's a thing you have to battle all the time. People don't like to come to meetings. A lot of people don't. And the fact that they don't show up is certainly no reason that those that do come should say, well, I'm not going to come anymore myself, because this just compounds the problem. Now, it seems to me that there's a certain amount of communication required between this body and the people who don't come, that we want to come, either addressing personal letters or phone calls. And I would be glad to take a share of making phone calls from my office. I think maybe everybody could make a few phone calls. This might just say we're speaking for the dialogue group, and we could please put this on your calendar to be there next meeting. This might bring a few up.
It's a kind of a mix up in the dates. I know that I had December 1st, December 8th, and I called you up to clarify which one was the meeting, and I wonder how many other people were in the same boat.
Well, we put on the minutes after we discussed it here and you got that confused, because now we went down and put on those minutes the exact date, and I think two other people called all together, and I gave them the date and referred them to the minutes, and they said, oh yes, it is down here. I think that was possible, but I'm of the feeling with some of the others that the big problem is partly apathy that Bob mentioned, and also the fact that seems to me we as a whole body have to decide whether this is important or isn't it. I will get the names of those out on that little committee again, and let's have some meetings, lay it out, let the committee work, go to work, and put the pens in them and see if they do it. I think that's where it ought to be. But I think Bob's other idea is also good. I think I'd like to have some expressions of others, and then call you tomorrow, or Monday the first thing, and give you, after we break down this list, those that you would agree to call. I'd like to have two or three other people who would agree to make some personal calls about their being here, particularly those who have not been here.
Right, is this what you're saying about their attendance or factors, or if you want to notify them of future meetings? Which one?
Right now, future meetings, the importance of it. And, of course, use the fact that we have been meeting and this urgency and importance as leading into why they should be here.
Well, my secretary, I can, she'll be available to.
I think somebody ought to call everybody.
That's what I said, we are.
I'll call her.
Yes, if they can't make it, then let us know something and give us something specific.
Mr. Chairman.
Leon didn't back.
Yeah. We made, there was a list of people that we thought or who should be here. There are some, you know, we considered there was some limitation of space and all sort of this. And it seems to me that this ought to be borne in mind. And it seems to me that since we were trying so hard to get people who can effect change, that we have to have people make the contacts who have influence with those people who can make the changes.
That's why it was necessary for us to sit down first before they start calling.
Well, this is the reason I suggested people like Mr. Callison, the mayor, to do this kind of thing. Because if I call the members of the Board of Supervisors and say, you know, we're going to say, go fry a kite, you know, or something, you know, who are you to ask me to come down here? So this is the way, you know, and we've got a lot of people like me already willing to come, you know. So people like me calling people that we want to get here is kind of useless.
You know, that's given here with, instead of Bob calling today, next to you there, we sit down and see which ones of these he has the greatest influence with and get him that list and then mark it off here so that it's not duplicated. And then the officer is going to call some, find out those.
I think you ruled me out when you
But I think, though, what we're saying is you just don't call. Obviously, there would be no need to start this. Certain people can call certain other people, and when I get it done, we can look at it. If we know who he has great influence with, he can call those people and get it pinned down. And the other committee that we met with on the three occasions, find out. Give them some specific assignments, and from now on, let them make the report. Let's see what they have done and keep the pressure on them. But there are some other individuals here who might want to volunteer right now to call, and we'll make up a list for you to call. Are there some others here who... what about Board of Education with you, Matt? You are influential out there with the Board of Education.
I am.
All right. You did volunteer, didn't you?
Did you ever want... Listen, you don't just want the Board of Education sitting here at every meeting. If you, when you get to a question that involves them, sure, I'd be glad to.
But I don't think it's on the basis of just the questions involving them.
Well,
maybe all of them can't come every time, but I don't think we put it on the basis only those questions that involve that particular... Is that... Am I right?
Right.
It should be somebody here from these groups, I thought.
I thought we were saying that we were discussing one of the two most important issues facing this nation. And if that's true, then it faces the Board of Education as well as the
Board. I agree, Leon, but now look at the number of chairs you've got in the room. And think about this now. The reason we were standing today was specifically there was two or three specific individuals who weren't here. We weren't standing because the Board of Education wasn't here. Now, if you try to get all the people who are in decision-making positions at every meeting, we'll have to move to a larger room. What we want to do is to put pressure on them at the time that we need them so that we can carry on our discussion. That's what I thought we were trying to do. We were blocked today because there were specific people who are not here whom we need. And I think that's really better than trying to have a meeting, a sequence of meetings that which everybody's going to attend. I think this is dreaming. They're not going to do it like that. They're not going to come to every meeting. So we have to say, well, now next time we're going to talk about something. And in conjunction with that, I want to go back to what Alan said earlier. Let this committee write an agenda that is specific and detailed in terms of what's going to be discussed, outlined. And if you gave it to the press, that would help too. We're going to talk next time. When you get there, talk about the Board of Education. Say we ask the Board of Education to come here because we're going to talk about specifically A, this, B, this, C, this. Now, under those conditions, you give them a specific invitation, remind them individually, tell them what you're going to talk about, and they have to come to the church, whatever policy decisions they make.
I agree with Tom. I'm just going to throw this on the table, but we all know the value of the, or the power, let's say, of the press. Why not throw out a specific subject or area we're going to discuss and say, as a press release, and say that Joe Blow has been invited. Then, if they don't show up, let's put them on the spot and go so far as to say they didn't bother to attend.
I think it's an excellent idea, except that you remember in the early formative stages, there had been a lot of concern about putting people on the spot and pinning them down and forcing them to become defensive. Remember, we sort of said we weren't going to do that to people. You remember now. And this is a change in tactics.
I agree that there are depending on the subject, there should be some special people here at different times. It wouldn't be every time, but I also feel that there ought to be, for every meeting, a larger group like we have here today. That we should get a larger, because pretty soon it could dwindle down to where, if it's going to just specifically interest an individual, he might not come from once in 6 months.
Yes, Tom, I think we were talking about two different things. For the specific topics, yes. But the whole concern is that we here represent different areas, and we are here all the time, and public officials should have that thing.
I agree.
Okay, we'll spell that out in such a manner as to make it clear. Or that you're... Oh, okay.
Anything other than these specific people are supposed to be here every time.
The city council.
Two councilmen that are supposed to be here. The city attorney is supposed to be here. These types of people are supposed to be every time.
I didn't want to stop us from discussing Inspector Gordon and Tom's suggestion here, so I just wanted to point out that we had had this consideration before and that we ought to.
No, we'll take those and include this in this committee. And the other thing is, I think now that we are getting to some of the problems that some of us privately have discussed, that instead of making the decisions arbitrarily, we are moving that way with the whole group. Now the chair will try to stay on top of some of these things now that the whole body is on the same frequency with some of the concepts and ideas that some of us privately here have been discussing. The issuance of press releases, for example, I think it's appropriate. Whether or not we have contacted that particular body, that if this group has chosen a topic coming from this body, whether or not we've contacted them, it is appropriate to say to the press that that is a topic to be discussed. Then we can follow up, of course, with the necessary contacts to do what Leon mentioned, not to put them on the spot as far as criticizing them and so forth. I think the other thing is that this committee, getting to some of these specifics, should then satisfy what Reverend Oxley has mentioned several times. The committee should come up with the direction they want to take on those specific things, and that too included, for example, in the general agenda that's prepared.
Yes, I hold on to consider that this dialogue is going on, and if we run into a problem where we can't stop here, where somebody wants to, then we call a press conference. And someone has intimated here that the enthusiasm the past 4 or 5 months was political. Well, I don't know what it was not. Maybe it was. Dealing with politics, I mean, it's a different thing than what we're talking about, I would assume, because there's no indictment on any politicians, but politicians are opportunists. And that's the way they survive. The opportunity presents itself, I present myself to bring a solution about it by my presence, and I'm going to do what I want to do, I'll take it in. But I think that when we get to these things, we should get a press conference and add this thing to the city. If we get, and I think this should be the last resort, if the person refused to come to participate in the dialogue that deals with his specific area of concern or concentration, then we should go into a dialogue with him, because the people out there in the community are wondering, well, why are you down there every twice a month? What are you doing? We never hear anything about never getting results, and we never hear anything in the press, or we only heard one statement in 6 months.
Has the Southeast Press deadline, thank you for taking like the voice, have they been invited?
They have been invited, we've met with them, we've talked about it, but in all fairness, the Southeast, the voice, you see, would voice the same kinds of opinions that George Stevens and others have expressed here today. It is quite understandable as part of historical development that he is not as a big paid staff member of Union and Tribune, and if he makes a contact, if he comes to a meeting, he's concerned about that not being just another conference or dialogue group. And therefore, his judgment is many times in terms of the specific feelings and generated feelings in the minority community.
Couldn't we submit to him the minutes of the meeting in the form of a press release for him to put into the
what you have to do? They don't have a page.
That's right. What we do is sit down with them and say this or that and discuss.
Well, the problem came up the last meeting of, you know, on the buses and the transit and the proportion and so forth. And I think they should have this information, you know.
Now they can.
Yeah, right.
Carol, I don't think we can defend Clarence for not being here. I'm sorry about that. But if we're going to sit here and say that this is the most important problem in the country today, and the mayor and the board of supervisors and everybody else damn well ought to be here, and then say that Clarence doesn't have to be here because he's got too many other things to do, I can't.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to imply that.
Yeah, no, what he's saying, Julian, I agree with what you're saying. He should be, but what Carol was saying is that the only thing that would concern Clarence is something that directly involves the promotion of the Negro so he can sell his paper. Yeah, I mean, that's what he's saying.
Well, what's this meeting all about?
Well, that's a good question.
He's going to be
Yeah, he should be here. I'm agreeing with what you're saying. Yes, he should be.
And we're going to send a delegation to see the chairman of the Board of Supervisors and the head of the Board of Education and the mayor. We ought to send the same delegation to see Mr. Irving.
Some delegation.
Agree with you.
I have another comment too. I think, you know, this isn't a big deal thing, but I think administratively, just the mechanics of the thing have never been worked out with our office taking half of it and your office taking half of it. In terms of regular Mickey Mouse sending out notices of meetings well in advance of the meeting with an agenda, with the topic to be discussed to everyone, whether they were here at this meeting or not, these kinds of little things we have worked out.
You got a good volunteer, did you hear that?
We meet with your committee.
That's the P-H-A-L-E.
No, but I mean, well in advance, so that everyone
knows. Yes, he's right there.
That's the right place to be.
We have never done
that. Well, I think we better come to grips with all these now. Try to do something about it.
Well, let me kind of reinforce some things which Captain Lehman said. And that it seems to me that if we are people who are really concerned, one of the things you've got to do is to not verify over and over again the same thing that everybody else knows, that there's apathy, there's incompetence, there's stupidity, and all the rest of it. We've got to find a way to cut down to it. If sending out that this thing is not going to do it, then we can't just say, well, it was in the minutes. We've got to say, we want them here. They don't read the minutes. That's a fact of life. So we do something else to get them here. You know, and if it comes to the point of, you know, having to have a hand-held invitation, I'm willing to go because I believe in the importance of this enough. But a lot of this is we've got to demonstrate administratively that we know how to cut through this other kind of crap and bureaucracy. And that's you know, if we want to solve the problem, that's one of the problems. The people are apathetic, and you're going to have to keep going after them and after them and after them, not just saying, we piped and you didn't dance. You know, we're going to say, here's the tune, and the tune you said you danced, you now dance. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, would everyone put their telephone number on that roster, please? I think that we should now do something aggressively about
what about the mailing?
About the whole thing. We have mailing lists, but as Glenn is pointing out, once you simply take as granted that apathy, stupidity, and all the other is part of it, you don't just rely on that. Would you put telephone numbers down there if they're not? We probably have most of them. So we can do something about this, so we can get some calls to you in meetings. Any other topic that should be mentioned today?
Mr. Chairman, how are we going to go about formulating our agenda for the next meeting?
I'm going to call the committee that met the two or three times, expand it if necessary, stay on it from now through the next 2 weeks if it means something in the press every day. We're going to take the kind of role that now we have agreed upon and use all the means and methods that are known to work if we have to walk them here. In other words, we are now on the same frequency, we're going to do it.
This committee, I'm only, I missed the last meeting. I was at two, Grant and at three, and I missed the last one.
Right.
And this is the same committee.
That's the same group, right. And we have the list there, and I think, as I thought, sat in thought, we ought to expand it to two or three. We ought to have regular meetings, and we're going to put it on the books through January, February, March or so, where that committee meets immediately after this meeting, and get the agenda, take the minutes, and do it. Mike, and then Mary.
What I noticed here in this meeting is that we don't see any of the invisible city fathers, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The ones that, sure, you have the politicians and this and that, but I think there's still another power that's above them.
All right. Who are you referring to there? The
you know what I mean?
Invisible power?
If I could mention names, but I won't.
Well, then I think maybe you ought to come to the meeting. That's the kind of thing this committee was struggling with before.
So they have the power.
Well, that ought to be discussed then if you think that's important, if anyone else does. I do.
Well, now, what group is this?
Because he doesn't want to talk about it here, but we're going to find out what he's talking about.
You mean the men
behind the city
representatives?
The
men who make the city representatives.
$100,000 and so on and so forth.
No, we got some of those.
Mike Amador.
Mike Amador will be invited to the meeting so he can publicly state what he's saying, and since he doesn't want to do it here, we'll find out. I'll ask you to come to that meeting and bring it up for the committee and let the committee handle it. Mary.
Carol, my concern is that we develop an agenda for the next meeting, you know, very quickly, within the next few days, and then immediately send out written notice and then follow up with whatever personal business phone calls or that you want to make. We can go to that administrative stuff for giving out the written notice with the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I was wondering if Leon wanted to comment on the Urban Coalition meeting or if that might be a topic for a future session with this group. I think this
I haven't been involved in it in prior developments. I just got an invitation and went over there. I don't know enough about it, really, only what I perceived yesterday. And that isn't enough to talk about it, I don't think.
I'd like to eventually get that discussion.
Well, I think it ought to be someone who knows more about it and more of the background.
Did the city send somebody?
Yeah, Helen Cobb was there.
There were only five people.
Yeah.
There was Ed Brown and Leon and Helen Cobb and
John Johnson.
John Johnson and the woman from the labor over there, FEPC, Muriel Goldhammer.
Goldhammer, yes.
Yeah. Helen Cobb.
Jack Walsh
there? I don't think so. The mayor was one of the co-sponsors of it, and he didn't come, and as far as I know, had a place in the program, and no one filled that place. I'm assuming that if he sent someone in his place, that person would have filled the place on the agenda.
Which mayor? You mean our mayor?
Our mayor. San Diego was one of the co-sponsoring mayors of that conference. He's in Mexico. But
it was a very, very excellent concluding discussion. I didn't hear all of it. I was late getting it by Mayor Hyatt of Fresno. He spoke very, very pertinently and to the point, you know, and someone sitting there said, well, if you hear a mayor of a certain northern city say anything like this, you know, if he had this kind of perception, maybe some of the problems in a certain area of that city wouldn't be so crucial. But Hyde really faced up to the situation, I thought, very, very well. One thing he mentioned that impressed me was that he'd been talking to a group of youth that was represented predominantly by mostly by Negro and other kids. And one of the questions after he had outlined all the different programs, those girls stood up and said, "Mr. Mayor, are you doing all this because you think there's going to be a riot, because you really care about us, real people?" And he was very, very impressed by this. This is the issue. You know, are we going to respond because people are people?
All right, the agenda for next time, shall it remain the EOC, and then we get with this committee to see what we're going to do about it, get the people here, or shall we take up the 200th anniversary instead, or what? Shall we hold to what we have and simply put push it and get the people here and continue on that?
My thought would be that the EOC matter is one which is much more specific and defined, and the directions are much more clearly set as to what's going to be happening. The 200th anniversary is, as near as I can see, is still at sea, and much more can be done by you and a couple of others meeting with the manager and a few others. When they got themselves organized, and we've been part of that organization, then I think we can bring it here and help. But to this point, it's the blind leading the blind. That won't help me.
I think from Julius's comments, that would be, would you think, Julian, until after this thing has, until they got themselves together.
On the 200th anniversary?
Yeah.
Well, we should talk about that right now.
Not much time.
Is there any objection then to keeping on the agenda, the EOC, and then doing it as we ought to be doing it?
Although I think it would be very profitable for you to get with Goff right away.
That's okay with him. Right.
Go that way for now.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, then the committee wouldn't need to meet to discuss the agenda. This is the...
I think they need to discuss specifics about it, even to have a list of questions if necessary. We need to bring them in to do something about the agenda, get it out, take care of the mechanics you mentioned, see to it that they, that committee, at least is on top of who's going to call on whom. For example, I know who I'm going to call on with regard to it, but that committee should know, very by Tuesday at the latest, who they're going to call on, who's going to call on whom, and what like to be here next 2 weeks.
Yeah, let me just say in addition to that, Carol, you see, there are two different things involved, it seems to me. There's the local situation, and whatever criticism and however it was generated, whatever kind of climate it's created, that's one thing. But right now, in the Congress of the United States, they're deciding about that whole program. There are a couple of amendments in that program. If the amendments stay with it, mean that that whole program is going to be, the controlling influence is going to be the local county and city government, the controlling influence by law. And if that's the case, there are going to be some changes in this program here. They've got to make them. And if that's the case, we should be with those people, because that's the future we're talking about, not just going over old hash, making sure that those mistakes don't get repeated over and over again.
Yeah, the national issue and the local issue.
Well, now, how can we control? How can the amendment will be with the county?
Yeah.
That's what our thing is right now.
What,
when you get into that area, if there's the EOC discussion takes place in 2 weeks, it seems to me there should be some assurance that Austin, Dent, Reed,
right,
and Camp, those four people specifically, should be with us.
Well, I think also the city is important, because that up until now, I mean, again, just a personal feeling, up until now, the county has been pretty unwilling to admit that it's a problem of it at all. They want the power from Washington. And then when Carol Wayman goes three times running, they said, we're sorry, but that's another problem. We don't have any problem out here in the county. That's, you know.
But we're here.
Yeah, I know that you're here. I'm simply saying that the city should be considered a part of who we want here, and they got a legitimate stake in this, and they got some room, it seems to me, to be pushing the county to say, you know, wait a minute, we're putting up the bill, at least for the only agency we've got, the CIC, and now at least at this time we've got to acknowledge that you want the power, the problem is also yours, and you got to work with us in a different way than it's been in the past.
I would say. Well, yeah, and we're staying very close to that.
Right.
Any other then on that? The point I think Reverend Oxley would be to meet with this committee and let them come to grips with this. So from now on, we channel these kind of agenda items, these specific issues, the local, the national, the amendment, the bill, right through that committee. Any objections? EOC then will be the topic next time, and the committee will meet soon, and we'll start this whole aggressive approach for this committee. Any others?
I'd like to get a little clarification here. I think I should be advised. Mr. Williams has mentioned that he's mentioned me specifically about attending the Board of Supervisors, and somehow or other prevailing on them need for attending these meetings, or maybe it's now just on a specific time when they're here. As we have observed here, and as I myself have done, anyone who has absent themselves from this meeting at any time can come in here with any type of excuse. I mean, we've heard the reason why we've heard them time after time. Mr. Schaefer and probably the board of supervisors. They have some excuse, which are more or less valid, I expect. But they may truly feel that, in spite of the fact that this is the most important thing that could be possibly be discussed or missed concerning in our community, nevertheless, something else on that particular day seems to take priority or precedence, and maybe not that valid. But what I truly am getting at is that I wouldn't feel that I would be any more qualified. What I think the approach to the board is right. I happen to be district attorney. I don't think that means a thing to them. I mean, and it certainly means very little to me in the sense of approaching the board of supervisors. I've approached them on many things, and I know that they sometimes feel, well, here comes Kelly, going to be emotional about something. And this is usually the way it first frequently happens. And so I don't know. Sometimes I make my point, sometimes I don't. But what I'm getting at is that you, sir, certainly, I think, in one sense, they're much more qualified than us. And don't misunderstand me. I'm willing to go down there any time those five people are together, at any time. But any of you people, that we have expressed here over these months that we have been gathering together, and having the sense of direction that we know we must have, the tremendous importance of it. I feel would be just as, it would be more adequate than I, that's all I'm trying to say. Now, I don't understand that I'm not willing to do it, I am. But all I'm saying is, am I the best qualified? Would there be not somebody else that could make a far greater impression? And the reason I mentioned this particular, I've been thinking about it here, this thought was mentioned and the name of C. Arnold Smith was mentioned here. This is a different situation. I have been a personal friend of C. Arnold Smith for many, many years. And I could go to Mr. Smith's office and I could tell him, look, here's what we have been doing. Now, I happen to have a great respect for Mr. Smith. Maybe other areas in the community don't have, but I think he's an honest man, and I think that he's a person who is dedicated, I really do feel, to the interests of our community. And that's what this is. That's what this is. And I could go to Mr. Smith personally. I could go to Carol. I could go to Mr. Williams, Mr. Stevens. I could go with any of us, Reverend Oxley in this room, and sit down and explain to him what we have been doing and why and he's important. And I really feel we would get a wonderful response. I really do. So I'm saying, sir, that I feel that there are two separate areas. I'm willing with anybody. And that brings up another question in my mind. How are we thinking of approaching the board? And I'll do the same thing with state council. I mean, I feel like that I could do one just as well as the other, or just as poorly as the other, as far as that goes. But are we thinking of going there together in a group and each one speaking, or are we feeling just one person that we're choosing or selecting or suggesting or whatever? And I think that consideration should be given. I'm going to meet with Carol and we're going to discuss this, and I'm hopeful that out of our conversation and consulting consultation there would be a real good answer properly. But that again is maybe a consideration that we should have here. How do you feel is the way we should do it? I personally don't see why there should be have to be anything specific for the board of supervisors and the city council to be here. Every single one of these meetings for me has been specific. I realize, and I'm completely in accord with Reverend Oxley. I'm just simple enough, and perhaps don't have the depth of understanding, maybe, to need specific. I need specific. I have for a long time, but it's been a tremendous, and I think anybody tends here should have had the benefit of the background, the full context of what we're talking about over these periods of time. But this is, I'm just talking about the fact that maybe I, in the best timing, I don't think I have the best, but perhaps if you do,
and I would certainly do it.
Well, I'll tell you my reasons for staying, because I think that the attitude of minority people has been expressed repeatedly for a long, long time to many people, and that they haven't been understood. And I think that you're saying that your understanding has increased since you've been here.
Right.
There's been more than one time that you've been here. You've heard the same thing said many ways by different people. And if I or some other person like me would go to the Board of Supervisors, we'd be saying it on one time for 3 minutes or so in one way, and perhaps nervously at that, and we wouldn't communicate with it so well. Whereas I would think that you might say, look, I've sat with those people or this group of people for these many months, that these kinds of things have come to me as a result of this, and that this might be more effective and more persuasive with them than somebody like me.
Julian, you had something else to add?
Well, I think Don's points are well made, and a couple of add-on things. I think as far as getting people here, we have to be careful about using the press as a subpoena to the meeting. You know, we float out to the press that these people have been invited, have accepted, and they're going to attend. That's an interesting concept. I think without defending anyone or being defensive, even though we all say this is the most important problem that we have to face, and we all agree with that, and that includes the mayor, he was here 2 weeks ago, which was after the election, by the way, November 10th, and he'll probably be here 2 weeks from now. The baseball meeting wasn't going on 2 weeks ago, and it won't be going on 2 weeks from now, and he had to be there. There isn't any question about that. When we say that he should have been here except someone else at the baseball meeting, I don't really think that was the sense of the group around the table today. I think we have to be careful about floating out comments like that too.
But now, that's what you just said. Now, which is more important to San Diego, a baseball team or a relationship that was created eventually, any kind of thing you want to have? See, that's what I'm saying. If baseball and recreation,
you want to play in Florida, but what we're talking about?
I know what you're saying.
You can go to the meeting of the baseball team and get the game here. You can come here and dialogue for 2 hours, and the amount of change.
He gets the game here, and the atmosphere. They lose money on baseball too. You just think about that. You see, it takes people to support the baseball teams. You can have 10 baseball teams here. And somebody has to take responsibility of supporting them.
This is very interesting because, you see, this is part of the problem, and we should have our chart up there in terms of this perception.
But what you do, you take what's top priority.
Yes.
Now, what you're taking now and making it top priority is something that the people will have to support. And you're trying to get the people together in an understanding where they will support it.
What is top priority for the year 1967 in total?
Well, this is
a differential perception that is very interesting. And what is top priority for November 30, 1967, one day? Maybe something else for a guy in the position of the mayor's office.
Well, it seems to me that the real thing is not having to choose between these two alternatives as top priority. The real problem is that one has to understand that whatever is being done is furthering what the top priority is. That is, that if the mayor has been coming here, I'm convinced of the mayor's sincerity in this.
Yeah.
And my feeling is that the mayor should be, as one of the things that he's doing down there when he's selling San Diego, that he should communicate to us before he goes, and he should communicate to us after he's come back, and that he should have had his delegate here in his absence to say. One of the things I did down there was to say San Diego's a place which has got these and these and these kind of people in it as a community, and that we want a baseball team, and we welcome them no matter what their color is, and when they come here, they're not going to have to live in a ghetto. They can live wherever they want to live in the city, and I, as mayor, personally make sure that they and their families and their kids, if they move here with a baseball team, are going to have the very best deal of any city in America.
He has communicated just that to General Eckert. I was there when he said it.
Yeah, I'm saying...
But does he but has he communicated with the community of San Diego?
I
don't think so.
Now, this is the kind of thing which I'm saying that...
That's why we're here now.
What one needs to do is not to fight between these two alternatives, but to show that whatever is being done takes into awareness and is sensitive to and is furthering what the top priority is, namely this particular...
Yeah, and that's what gave rise to the dialogue, that it was listed right down here in the mayor's, under the mayor's office.
Right.
That's what gave rise to the dialogue.
And we're not arguing.
No,
just saying that for you, for this group, to develop some apparent consensus that the mayor ought to be here instead of in Mexico City today is probably not really what this group wants to say.
I think the problem is that out of the three people that should be here, the mayor and the two councilmen, there are none here. Now, this is the basic problem. I don't know. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that that if two of the councilmen had been there, the mayor is doing important business in Mexico City. I think this would be accepted.
I was about to remark, tying up all those, that this probably is a good topic. We're under the umbrella of what we've been talking about. Some have said that the perception of what the priority should be at any time is X, Y, Z. Others have said that the top priority as perceived by that group at any one time should be X, Y, Z. Again, we start out with differential perceptions, part of the problem for being here. Len mentioned, though, that maybe if we had our chart up there and we're talking about it, we would come up with a different kind of understanding of it. That the top priority can still remain as each perceives it, but with the furtherance of the top priority, where everyone goes, takes the message that the dialogue group goes on, this is a concern, and then when he comes back, carry this message to the community, and the perceptions would again be on the same frequency. I think this is worthy, too, of note later on as we talk about. This is another example of why we're meeting, I'm saying. Any other meeting? If not,
thank you. I have one question I would like to ask. In this EOC topic, who would be the county and the EOC? Now, what is the mediator? Who is the mediator there? Is that the mayor?
In the whole discussion battle, I'm not...
I'm trying to figure out now what would...
My perception is there is no mediator as such. Maybe one of the problems has been, as we talked about it here earlier, maybe there should have been a body to which they went first or later. As a mediator, if it turned out to be this kind of war, we didn't conclude there was, but somebody else might need to react to that too.
I think that if there is such a group, it would really be the board of EOC, because the two members of the Board of Supervisors are also members of the Board of Directors of EOC. The two members that have directed the criticism at EOC, Depp and DeKraus Dawson, are also members of the Board of Directors of EOC. So they don't have to house an official body to communicate between them and EOC.
Does that clarify? We should hope to enter all those areas next time. We'll try to have the articles here and whatever is necessary to look at the total spectrum.
May I just talk? In this specific regard, as mentioned, I expect the city manager, and I am quite sure the chief administrative officer of the county of San Diego are given the duties of various kinds and matters of policy to represent to the board and recommend action. And I have never
been suggested here that Mr. Hagelin or Mr. Maury, the assistant chief of the administrative office, should be here. And I do agree completely that two members of the board should attend, but perhaps there's another area that if they are going to be too preoccupied or busy or somehow or other, that they should have a chief administrative officer.
I've made a note of that.
Right. Yes. And one further thing is, Mr. Wise indicated using a part of using the press, rather, as the subpoena situation. Is it been considered? I've been disappointed because of the tremendous value of what I have seen in the style of other press coverage of this, in a sense. Is it possible for us to get a dialogue story? Showing what you wonderful people have been doing all these months, giving you time, and get this published, but the dialogue story, to get it out to the community and show what this group has been attempting to do on behalf of the people of the content community of San Diego. Get that published. I think it could achieve two things: to show, as we're attempting here, the need for more perhaps intelligent, knowledgeable reporting. These reporters I have daily experience with, and I know lots of times they are having to get into things that they have very, very superficial knowledge about and write in depth about them. Mm-hmm. And this is always really a danger. And it will come out the way it should.
Can I just add one thing to that? This morning, there were supposed to have been some still pictures made of the dialogue group, but inasmuch as the mayor wouldn't be here and we knew the other two counts, one of them wouldn't be here, Rosemary decided that it would be better to wait until the mayor was here and then make other arrangements to have the pictures taken that would go into such a story. There are two reporters who have agreed to do the so-called Operation Dialogue. So that's why the reporters are not here. The cameraman, not the reporters. That's why the cameramen are not here. Any others? See you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.